blessed moment for the day is found in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 through 21. We're going to actually stand for the reading of the word. And for those of you who don't have a Bible with you, you can also look to the screen of your preference, I guess. And we will begin. I think we're good. Let us read. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles move it, all the judges of the earth. I love those who, I don't see nothing moving, who me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Did y'all like that last little piece? Mm-hmm. You're going to have some wisdom. Amen. Wisdom will help you inherit wealth and fill your treasuries. God is wisdom. God is love. At the end of the day, everything is going to come back right like we said earlier. It all points back to him. Amen, somebody. Boy, y'all looking like y'all ready for something. All right, good deal. This is Second Sunday, and normally Mother's Day, I'm the one who's speaking. But I kind of wanted to get a female's perspective concerning Mother's Day. So I called my sister, Jackie Allen Williams. And I told her I wanted her to share, and she told me yesterday, I've got nothing still. And I say, well, you know, when I thought about it, you're in good company. That's kind of how I live life, on the edge. But God can just give it to me when he wants to. And I'm good with that. I've resolved that in my mind. It's not a big deal. If he wants to give it to me when I stand up here, then so be it. Which is why it's so important to have an ear to hear the voice of God. And that has to be developed over time. Amen. You have to be able to develop your ear to hear God speak to you oh so clearly. Otherwise, it can make it real hard. So, in all of that, I ask that you receive Minister Jackie Allen Williams. Just don't dance.
Bless the Lord. Yeah, he said he's resolved that. I hadn't quite got there yet. Because I was like, Lord, I told him, I said, just be on standby in case I say, you know what, I ain't going to be able to do nothing. So I talked to him till about 12 midnight last night. And then when I got off the phone with him, then I finished what I needed to do. So I was like, okay, Lord, really, you know. But he's given me something, and I pray that you guys will receive it. You may be seated. Kendall, you got that song for me? Okay. I'm gonna let you guys listen to this song, and it's for the mothers. I guess while he's doing that, I just want to say all reverence to God. thank God for every opportunity because I really wanted to tell him no. But I'm learning to be more obedient in doing what God is calling me to do. I told him I kind of felt a little lost because it's been a while since I've been up here to speak before his people. I said, but, you know, as you walk in this journey, you just have to learn to be obedient. And so that's what I'm working on right now. To Pastor Cy, Lady Yola, thank you for being such good examples. To my husband who's not here, I thank God for him, for covering me. And to all of the mothers, happy Mother's Day. You rock, you rock, you rock. And so I don't know if he's going to be able to pull that up. If not, he got it? Okay. I want you to just listen to this song. I don't know if you're going to be able to get it on the screen. No? Okay.
You're up all night with a screaming baby.
It's talking about one heartbeat at a time.
All day at the speed of life, and every day you feel a little bit less like the beautiful woman you are. So you fall in bed when you run out of hours, and you wonder if anything worth doing got done. Or maybe you just don't know, or maybe you forgot. You are changing the world, one little heartbeat at a time, making history with every touch and every smile. Oh, you may not see it now.
Amen. just says that you're changing the world one little heartbeat at a time. And I want you to just kind of think about that, because we are changing the world. If he has the scriptures ready, you can pull those up. Okay. All righty. The first scripture is Proverbs 31:27-30. And it says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And in the Voice it says, she directs the activities of her household and never does indulge in laziness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband too joins in the praise, saying, there are some, indeed many, many women who do well in every way. But of all of them, only you are truly excellent. Charm can be deceptive, and physical beauty will not last. But a woman who reveres the eternal should be praised above all others. Okay, the next scripture, Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. And the Voice says, so watch what you do. Be careful with your very life. Don't forget the things you saw with your own eyes, and don't let them fade from your memory. Remember them your whole life. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. I have two more scriptures. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6, and it says in the Voice, teach a child how to follow the right way. When he is old, he will stay on course. And the last one is Titus 2:3-5. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And in the Voice it reads, and here's what I want you to teach the older women. Be respectful. Steer clear of gossip or drinking too much so that you can teach what's good to young women. Be a positive example, showing them that what it is to love their husbands and children, and teaching them to control themselves in every way and to be pure. Train them to manage the household, to be kind, and to be submissive to their husbands, all of which honor the word of God. And my topic today, it is, I am a mother. Hear me roar. I am a mother. Hear me roar. And roar is actually an acronym. Anybody who knows me know that I like acronyms. And roar is raise, offspring, and rejoice. So I am a mother. Hear me. Raise, offspring, and rejoice. I want every mother to say, I am a mother. Hear me roar. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to move right on into the word. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for this moment. I thank you for all the mothers who have assembled here, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for the mothers who have gone on before us, Lord. Father God, I just thank you for the privilege and honor of being a mother. Father God, I just ask right now, Lord God, that you will speak a word, Lord, that will touch the hearts, and Father God, that will renew our minds, and that will put us on the path of what you would have us to do for such a time as this. Father, I thank you, and I praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I looked up the word mother, and it said it's a female parent, a woman in authority, specifically, a woman in authority, specifically, the superior of a religious community of women, an older, elderly woman. And I also looked up the Hebrew word for woman and for mother, and it was A-M-E, Ame, not sure how to pronounce it, but it meant the bond of the family. And so as we think about that, I want you to continue thinking about that mother, the bond of the family. And I looked up motherhood. It said the state of being a mother or the qualities or spirit of a mother. So that tells me that whether you have birthed a child or not, you can have the spirit of a mother. So a lot of us, some have not had children specifically, but if you are impacting somebody along the way, then you carry that mother spirit. Motherhood is one of the most challenging positions in life. A woman who becomes a mother is literally participating in the magnificent creation of the Almighty God. Just think about that. You have an opportunity to participate in what God is doing in the earth. Psalm 139:13 states, "For you shaped me inside and out. You knitted me together in my mother's womb long before I took my first breath." Just think about that. Before your babies took their first breath, God was knitting them in your womb. And that lets you know that you are participating in creation. Think about that for a moment. You have actually participated in creation. It's a huge responsibility. Mothers, we are carriers of God, and it is a high privilege and an honor to be a part of God's handiwork in the earth. And therefore, motherhood represents a great responsibility to mankind. With motherhood, we are shaping the lives of God's creation, and we have the opportunity to become world changers. Hallelujah. What we sow into our children can help set them on a path that could possibly change the lives of many. I can only imagine that mothers of some of the greatest names of our time never could have imagined the greatness that was being developed in their children. People such as Martin Luther King Jr., Billy Graham, Nelson Mandela, John F. Kennedy, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, Maya Angelou. These are just some names of some people that you might have heard that have gone on to do some great things. And they have been part of that plan of motherhood. And sometimes the situation comes where maybe motherhood wasn't your option. Maybe it wasn't what you had in mind, but God had it in mind. God has a purpose for that child being born. Whether they are born out of difficult situations or not, there is a purpose in every child that is born. And so we need to remember that when we're dealing with motherhood. Remember that there is a purpose in every child that is born, and it is our responsibility. And the question has become, who are you developing? Who are you developing in your role as a mother? What is housed in the children that you have birthed? What is housed in the children that you are touching, the different lives that you are touching? Mothers have a great responsibility in shaping the lives of their children, and the best way to do it is to lead by example. No longer can we use the "do as I say, not as I do" adage to teach our children. Children, especially in today's society, are bombarded with all kinds of influences. Therefore, it is very necessary that we as mothers be extremely involved in the everyday lives of our children. On yesterday, we had a training in the prophetic ministry, and Prophetess Lisa Brown did an awesome job. And one of the things she was talking about was the fivefold ministry. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And I was sitting there and I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about, we never know if we're raising someone to be one of those. Somebody that can impact the kingdom. But as I continued to think about it, I thought, well, if you start thinking about it, she gave the different characteristics for each one and what they did as they governed different areas. And so I was thinking about it, and I said, well, that could actually apply to motherhood. So I'm going to kind of break it down as I saw it. There are five responsibilities I believe mothers have to uphold when raising their children. You ultimately become the very hand of God in your own home when you take on the full responsibility of raising godly offspring. And she talked about the fivefold ministry being the hand of God. And I'm thinking the fivefold ministry in my house, I'm taking on the hand of God. I'm actually participating in what God is doing. So number one, a mother governs the children. She's responsible for laying the foundation or maintaining the structure of the home. Children need boundaries, and it is the responsibility of the mother to maintain the boundaries. Your yes should be yes. Your no should be no. And when you set consequences, you have to stick with it. No matter, sometimes it hurts you a little bit more than it might hurt them, because you know the consequences of what they're going through and what they're doing. But when you set a boundary, you have to let that child know that this is what I mean. I mean what I said. Because they will try you. They will test you. They will challenge you. And they will push and push. And if you give in to them, you're just setting them up for failure, because you're telling them that they can have their way when they push a certain way. But you have to be able to stand firm and say, no, I meant what I said. Proverbs 13:24 says, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children, but those who are quick to correct them show true love. A lot of times we say those who spare the rod spoil the children. That's not what it said. It said you hate your child. How many mothers hate their children? How many mothers hate their children? I don't think any of us hate our children, because it breeds such love when you have that baby. You love in a way that you don't even imagine that you could love. You love in a way that you would give your very last for that child. But you still have to set boundaries. Discipline is very necessary. Children need discipline whether they acknowledge it or not. But I guarantee you that when they get older, they will understand. And I know that most of us in here had mothers who set boundaries, and that's why we are who we are. That's why we are where we are. That's why people can look at us with respect and honor, and that's what we have to do. A mother governs her house. When you set the boundaries, and if you're married, you're setting those boundaries with your husband, but you're maintaining it. You're making sure that what daddy said, that's what it is. You're not going behind daddy back saying, well, that's what dad said, but we're going to do it like this time. Watch out there. We can't do it. Because then you teach the children not to respect their fathers. And so we really don't have to teach them how to manipulate, because they come here knowing that. You think about little babies. They'll cry, they'll scream. And a lot of times, nothing really wrong, but they're going to cry and scream till they get some attention. And once they realize that, oh, if I do this, and these are babies, you know, I can just imagine those little wheels turning. If I do this, oh, that worked. Let me keep doing it. Wah-ha! Wah-ha! Wah! And they just going to keep screaming. And a lot of times, there's nothing wrong with them. Sometimes you just got to let them, I say it develops good lungs, let them holler. They'll be okay. They'll figure it out. They'll figure out that, oh, she's not coming every time I scream. Oh, okay, maybe I need to stop. You know, these are little people. And you know, we don't know, because they can't express. But I'm pretty sure that they can figure out who they can get away with different things. And a lot of time, they're going to work on mama because mama just love her so much. And when they're working on mama, then, okay. But you have to stand firm. Govern your home. Govern your children. The second thing, a mother guides the children. As mothers, we can see things way down the road when we're dealing with our children. And sometimes we know that the very thing they think they want could lead them to destruction, or maybe a decision has been influenced by their peers, or maybe they want to do something that's not in their best interest. And we can see that as mothers. So we have to guide them. It's our responsibility to guide them to a better way. Proverbs 22:6, it says, teach a child how to follow the right way. Even when he is old, he will stay on course. So we have the opportunity to guide our children and to show them a better way. I was thinking about when Alicia was small, and I think she was in getting ready. She was in the sixth grade. And they had the student body, and they were going to have an election for president, vice president, secretary, that kind of thing. And she really wanted to be the president. But her friend wanted to be the president too. Dilemma. So she decided, well, mama, I'm gonna run for vice president because she wanna be president. Excuse me? What you say? Either you will run for president or you will not run for office at all. I saw that she was deferring to someone else because of their aspiration. No, baby, don't put yours on hold because of somebody else. Don't do it. And so she ran for president. She won, and her friend was fine. I said, if she have a problem with it, that's her problem. I said, but in this life, you're going to always run up against some kind of opposition. You're going to always run up against somebody that want to do what you want to do. But if you want to do that, go for it. That was my opportunity to guide her, to show her that you be who you are and don't allow somebody else to come and circumvent what you're supposed to do. And so that was her teachable moment from mama. It's like, oh, wait a minute, hold up. Like, no, baby, we're not taking second best to nobody. You know, we're gonna do it or we're not going to do it at all. And so that was my moment to guide her. Number three, a mother gathers the children. And this one was a little interesting. I thought about it. I say mothers do have a form of outreach ministry, especially when their children are involved in outside activities. You have an outreach ministry because you have children that your children are connecting with, and you have an opportunity to speak even into those children because you don't want those children influencing your children. And so this is an opportunity when you're carrying in and you're taking in and you're doing things with your children and other children are involved. These are opportunities for you to even teach those children. Deuteronomy 11:19 says, and you shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when you raise up. Teachable moments. And with those teachable moments, it includes whoever's in my house. If you coming over, then this is the way we do it. I'm still governing my house. I'm still guiding my children. And I'm outreaching, and I'm gathering the other children, and I'm reaching out to them to let them know that there's another way. Maybe that's the way my son would come home and tell me, Mama, you know, so-and-so, his mama let him do this, and his mama let him do that. And I was like, okay, what's that got to do with me? Where does he live? Who is your mama? Who is your mama? How do we do it in this house? It's like, okay, that's good. You let them do what they do over there, but don't bring it in here. And so it's like I'm still, you know, I'm governing, I'm guiding, I'm gathering, I'm taking care of it because I'm like, wait a minute. You know what? I'm responsible for you. Nobody else is going to do it. I'm responsible for you. I'm responsible for what you do. I'm responsible for who you are and what you look like when you go out. Because when you go out, you represent me. Amen. And a lot of times, you know, children will get into things and try to push a little bit when they're out on their own and want to do their own thing. But you constantly bringing them back to, okay, yeah, okay, come on back. This is the way we do it. And so you're constantly doing that. Number four, a mother guards her children. Most mothers would do everything in their power to protect their children. When you gave birth, you came into covenant with God to be committed to that child. It's no longer about me, me, me. You learn that you have to learn to die to self in order to protect your children. So many of us, you know, when we're young and we're still living the life and stuff is going on, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves these children, and it's like, okay, you know, it's like, ooh, I want to do this and I want to do that, but it's your responsibility to guard that child. There are some things that you might be doing that your child don't ever need to know about. Amen. And what you need to be doing is trying to line that thing up with the Word of God so that you can get it out of your system. Because I realized when I was a young mother and stuff, when Alicia was smaller, Lorenzo and I would go out sometimes, and sometimes we'd go out to clubs or something like that. And then all of a sudden I was like, nah, I don't want to do that. And he's like, why not? I'm like, because you have to realize our children are watching everything we do. They watch everything, even when you think they're not looking. They listening. They paying attention. They can be over here playing in the corner, and you having a conversation over here, and they could read you verbatim exactly what you said. And you think they playing. But they got those little ears sharper than a tack. They listening to everything, and they don't miss nothing. You know, we might miss a little beat here. They not missing anything. They like fine-tuned, honed in. They not hard of hearing. They got it down pat, and they will tell you word for word. I never will forget, I was in a store one time, and I was just shopping around, and there was this little boy that was really getting on my last nerve. He was just running all over the place, just all in between the aisles and between the clothes, and he was with his grandmother, and she was like, stop, stop, don't do that, and he just running all over the place. Whew. He ran into her and knocked her down. And I'm like, before I knew it, Lord help me, I had grabbed him, and I said, look at here, you apologize to your grandmother. She got up, and she said, oh, that's all right. I said, you know what, you're right. It is all right. And I immediately left the building. I had to go. Because I was ready to do that little baby bodily harm, and she was okay with what had just happened. And I'm like, the devil is a lie. Let me get out of her way, because that's how she raised her home. That's what she allows in her home. And I was like, Lord Jesus, I didn't buy anything at the store. I immediately ran up out of there because I was going to lay hands on that little boy. I was going to lay hands on it. And I have a hard time with that. Jesus. I have to constantly pray when I'm out and about. Because that mother in me be wanting to snatch them. It's like, sit down somewhere. And it's like, you have to remember, that's not my child. This is not. I don't have babies. So it's really hard for me. I don't have babies. I don't have grandbabies right now. I don't have babies. I don't have none of that. And so when I see it, I just like, Lord, help me. Let me hurry up and do what I need to do so I can move around, because My first is, it's like a reaction. It's like, whoop. It's like, ooh, okay. Not my children. Move around. It's not my children. You know, but that's how it is. You know, when you have it in you, you really, and you wanna tell, you know, the older women are supposed to teach. But I guarantee you, sometimes in this society, you try to tell a young mother something about her child, and she will cuss you from left to right, up and down, and every which way but loose. And you're thinking, well, baby, I'm going to pray for you because you're about to send him to jail or hell, one or the other. But you don't want nobody to tell you nothing? All right, you go on and do you. But you're going to cry over that baby sooner or later, you know. But it's like, young women, find you somebody that's older, that's been there, done it, and allow them to speak into your life. Allow them to help you along the way. You don't have to do it by yourself. A lot of us end up being single mothers. You don't have to do it by yourself. If you can't find a woman to help you, trust God. Trust God. Seek God out. Seek him diligently, because he will lead you. He will guide you. He will help you. But you got to get out of self. At some point, you got to die to self. Because when you have them children, it's not about you anymore. This is about the next generation and the legacy coming behind it. This is what you are investing in these children to get them through, so that when they grow up, they'll know how to invest in their children and get them through. And it'll be like a legacy going forth of godly children, godly character, because we need a lot more godly character in this day and this time, because people are just throwing it away like it's nothing. But woe unto them, because it is really making a difference. And you have the opportunity to truly be a participant in what God wants to do. The last thing, number five, was a mother grounds and balances her children. Kids are bombarded with all kinds of temptations and distraction in today's society. It's the mother's responsibility to weed out those things that will get their children off track. When a mother sees her child moving in the wrong direction, it's her responsibility to redirect and bring balance to the situation. And, you know, I know kids are going to be kids, and sometimes they're going to get off and they're going to do some things, but we have to try to find ways to redirect. We have to find ways to help them and, you know, talk to them. Talk to your children. Let them know what's going on. It's like, you got a right to be in their business. If they living in your house, yes, I will be in your business because you're in my house. And this is the way we do things. And so a lot of times it's like, well, you know, I don't want to upset the child. Upset the child. Okay. You're going to be upset, but you're going to be all right. You're going to be upset, but you're going to live today. I think about Bill Cosby. I'll take you out and make another one just like you, you know. But I was like, if I take you out, I ain't even doing it no more. I'm done. You know, but it's like you have a responsibility to do that. It's okay to be in your child's business. It's okay. You know, all these closed doors that you can't enter unless you knock. What? And that's it. They really don't have no business unless it's, you know, and I think about how society has talked about how children have rights. They do. They have the right to do what I tell them to do. That is your right. You're my child. I birthed you. I'm responsible for you. I'm paying the bills. I'm doing what's necessary. I'm praying over you. I'm crying over you. I'm doing what's necessary for your soul. Yeah, you got a right. You got a right to do exactly what I say do. And if you think you don't have that kind of right, if that's not, then maybe you need to go on and do your own thing. You have a right. Yeah. You got the right to do exactly what I tell you to do, when I tell you to do it, how I tell you to do it. You know, we got to stop letting children run the house. Woo! Children running parents. I was in the store yesterday. Lord help. Woo! I'm looking for some Mother's Day stuff, you know, just trying to get it together. And it was a little girl. She probably was about 9, 10. And she was with her mother. And so the mom was at the end of the aisle. The girl was looking at candy. She was in the candy aisle. And the mother was like, "Can you please hurry up?" And the little girl went right on doing what she was doing. And mom's like, "Can you please hurry up? Can you do what? Please do what?" And I'm thinking, "Lord Jesus, help me." And I'm like, "Let me move to the next aisle or somewhere else, because I'm not going to ask you, can you please do nothing? Get your butt off. We're ready to go. Let's go. Let's move it. Let's move it." You know, but when you allow that much freedom with your children, they will take advantage of it. And they will expect that that's the way it's supposed to be. And then you get out in public and want to try to discipline them and want to try to do this and do that. And I'm telling you, it don't work. I saw a little boy. He was about 15. And it was in the store again. Lord, I'm going to start ordering stuff online. But I was in the store, and this little boy, he's about 15, and his mama was talking to him, and he was kind of sassing her. And she was like, "Well, boy, don't be talking to me like that. Don't be doing that." He's like, "Who you talking to?" He's like, "Why are you trying to tell me something that you don't tell me that at home?" I'm like, "Oh, Lord Jesus. When the word say your sins will find you out, baby, let me tell you. What you allow at home, when you get in public, that stuff will embarrass you." And she was so embarrassed. But he was like, "Whatever." You know, it's like, okay, so we know how that go at home. Because I was like, if he had I would have just punched him and kept moving. It's like, what? Just snatched him and kept it moving. But that's the order she allowed in her home. So he's like, "Why are you trying to front now?" It's like, and that's the thing about children. They're going to let you know what goes on in the house. They don't know no better. They just, "Hey, this is how we do it at home." They're going to do it out in public. You want them to do something different in public, do something different at home. Amen. Lord have mercy. So whether you've physically had children or not, ladies, you have the capacity to become a mother to someone who needs the nurturing and advocacy of a mother. Motherhood is a gift. It's a privilege. It's an honor that we should not take lightly. We can become great mothers when we pray, lead by example, and walk in the fullness of the love of God towards our children and those who may come into our lives to be mentored. We cannot allow society to raise our children. Amen. Society would tell us that a lot of this is not necessary, but I beg to differ. Mothers have the power to change the course of society if we would only begin to adhere to the instructions of God's word. A lot of times, you know, I used to always hear and think about it. It's like, "Oh, I am not going to raise my children the way my mama raised me." But was it really that bad? You're still alive. You know how to respect others. You know how to treat other people. You know how to move in and out of society and be respected. So, yeah, it's okay. It's nothing wrong. Yeah, some of them might have went a little too far with the beating sometimes. But Like Mama used to tell Si, Pastor Si, I'm going to beat the devil out of you. And I tell her, yeah, we laugh about it at church because I say, yeah, she did it. She did it. She's like, I'm going to beat the devil out of you, boy. Go sit down somewhere. And she meant that. And I tell her all the time, I say, you did such a good job. You beat the devil out of us. We so scared the devil ain't got no chance. Hallelujah. But I wouldn't change it for nothing in the world because none of us has been to prison. None of us has been in trouble. You know, we all have good jobs. We're doing what we need to do. And she raised 7. I'm like, Lord, I had to stop at 2, but she did 7. I'm like, she was on it. She was governing her home. She was guarding her home. She was guiding her home. And she was making sure that everything was done what needed to be done in the home. And Daddy went to work, and Mama took care of the home. And a lot of times it's like we don't have a lot of choices now because 2 parents have to work and all of that. But you still had a responsibility to govern your home. Just because you're working doesn't mean that somebody else is supposed to raise your children. I listen to teachers and how parents send their children to school and want the teachers to raise the children. No, that starts at home. It starts in the home. And so parents, mothers, we have a responsibility. And I just want to say, rise up, mothers, take your position of power. That's a position of power because you are shaping and molding the next generation. You are shaping and molding these little children to go out into society. And you don't want them to get out into society and be abused because of the actions that might come forth if you don't govern and guard and protect and do what you're supposed to do in your home. Amen. It's bad enough that it happens sometime anyway, but don't put them in a position where they are drawing that kind of thing to them. Amen. You don't want to ever put them in a position that they're drawing the negative to them. So you have to constantly reinforce, and do what needs to be done so that they can receive all that they're supposed to have. Ephesians 5:1-2 encourages us. He says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. When we truly learn to imitate God before our children, we can fully implement this fivefold ministry of our home. And we can declare, I am mother, hear me roar, because we will be raising offspring and rejoicing. We won't have to be crying over our babies because they're out there doing any and everything. You know, you won't have to lose a lot of sleepless nights because you didn't implement what needed to be done when they were small. You can't wait till they get teenagers and start trying to do something with them. You got to start when they small, because I guarantee you, when they 1 and 2, they old enough to understand. They are old enough to understand. And a lot of people say, oh, they just, no, just nothing. When they start walking and talking, baby, you better believe they will understand. And that's when you got to start, right there. Those years between 1 and 10, those are real crucial. And then you got to know that as a mother, you don't stop. It keeps going. Even when they're older, you still have a responsibility. You're not as responsible, but you still have a responsibility. Whether your child is 10 or 50, if you can speak a word of wisdom, speak a word of encouragement, speak a word and do something that will help them in this life's journey, then that's what we're required to do. Because remember, we can be the hand of God in our homes. We can be that hand. And that's what God wants. And I feel like Paul, when I look at my children and I look at some children that are not really mine, that I kind of mentored along the way, In 3 John 3 and 4, he says, "For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." And I think that's something that every mother would want, is to know that your children are walking in a way that is pleasing to God. That does your heart so good. You know, they might go off track for a little while, but if you've implanted a seed in them, that seed will grow. And sooner or later, they will come to know, because I tell my baby all the time, I say, "Look, you belong to God. I don't know what you're doing, but you belong to God. It don't matter. You belong to God. And I'm believing that God will get out of you what he put in you. Amen. He will get his purpose out of you. Amen. Whether you running from it or not, he gonna get what he want. Because I'm constantly praying that God, you know, he know who he is. Draw him on in. Let him be who he's supposed to be." And that's what we have to do. We have to constantly pray that God will be in the lives of our children. I've even prayed at times, "Lord, if they out there doing anything that's not like what I taught them and not like, Lord, stop them in their tracks. Don't let them get so far out there that they can't come back." Because sometimes, like pastors used to say, 1 degree of separation, it could be just one little thing that can take our babies out. And the enemy is really trying to do that. He does not want our children to get their destiny. But the devil is a lie. I'm a mother. Hear me roar. I'm a mother. Hear me roar. I will not allow the enemy to have my children. Devil, I want the mothers to say this. Devil, you can't have my children. I am a mother. Hear me roar. Devil, you can't have my babies. I am a mother. Hear me roar. I go to war for them. I fight for them. I'm a guard them. I'm a protect them. I'm a do whatever needs to be done, because I am working as a hand of God. I am a mother. Hear me roar. Hear me roar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless God. Raise up your offspring and rejoice, because it is a blessing. The word says that their children will rise up and call them blessed, and that is so true. When you discipline and do what you need to do for your children, they will bless you. I am a witness. I have been so blessed by my children. I thank God. And so, ladies, mothers, God bless you. And I pray that you have a wonderful, beautiful, blessed Mother's Day. And let's keep fighting for our babies. Thank you. Oh, did you get that poem? You probably did. I don't know if you could put it up on the screen. I'm going to read it. I wrote a little poem as I was finishing. I forgot. I was finishing writing up my sermon. And as I was supposed to be getting ready to go to bed, all of a sudden it's like, okay. And it says, "I am a mother, hear me roar. I won't let you have my children, so I'm closing every door. Every door of deception, distraction, and defeat. Get out, Satan, I'm closing the door, because I am a mother, hear me roar. Society can't rule my house or the children God has given me, because I'm walking in true victory. So watch me as I close every door. Yes, I'm a mother. Hear me roar."
Amen. All I know is I feel like King Agrippa. He was talking to Paul. I was almost persuaded to be a mother. I was almost. King Agrippa said he was almost persuaded to be a Christian.
I was almost persuaded to be a mother. That sounded good right there. Hallelujah. I think that went well. God blessed that. I believe God wanted to have that female's perspective. And we just like listening to the Spirit of God. So however he directs is how we flow around here. And truly it was a blessing. Mothers never take lightly or for granted your position and who you are in the kingdom. Because, see, none of us can be, nobody in here can exist without a mother. We all had to have one. And so we want to, again, acknowledge that, that you are special. And so God bless you. No, just, I really want to make that emphasis. Don't take your motherhood for granted or lightly. Don't do it. Because people need that. The children need it. You can't have, a lot of time you won't have effective adults if a mother has not spent the time in raising them up in the way they should go. Yes, you know how today's days are. Sometimes men are there, sometimes they're not. Sometimes we in, we out. Sometimes some men are. But you are to be consistent. And this, we have our things, too. Men shouldn't do certain things. But we've seen it happen. I think one of the worst things is also when men are not being men. And then also how they assist a mother being the greatest mother that they can be. Amen. So all of those things are important. The lack of discipline has created a mess. The lack of responsibility has created tragedies. The idea of being about me and my children, no less, and insignificant, unimportant, is the worst thing to be. As you said, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to give of yourself. It's a sacrificial walk. Because you might have some things in your flesh that God wants to crucify for the sake of your children. And if you don't, you're actually assisting them and enabling them to be everything that God don't want them to be. So we have to understand, as women, you have to understand mothers, you got to die to yourself too. We have ours, you got yours. Amen. The last thing is, there are some mothers that need you to be a mother for them too. And they need you to model motherhood before them. And you have to model motherhood before others. And some don't have mothers, or some don't have responsible mothers. Model that for them. And that's what the elder women are supposed to do, elder mothers and so forth. So I'm excited. I have a awesome mom who really got me in line. Not that I was a bad kid, but there's a lot of stuff you do what you do. I know, I wasn't a bad kid, was I? You just have your issues. I wouldn't, y'all laughing at me. Why y'all laughing? Because I got whippings every day. Y'all thought I was bad. My mom, she just had this thing. She didn't have a good day unless her arm was going like this. So I was assisting so she could feel better about the day. So I was encouraging mom to let her know, mom, I'm taking it for the others. What did Pastor Chica say? I'ma take the wrong. I'ma take one for the family. It just happened daily. Seven of us, I was number three. And that speaks some stuff because I had an older brother and a sister, and they used to pick on me. And so I had to be a different kind of guy. a child, because they were picking on me. I was like that song, why is everybody always picking on me? And then I realized I can handle my business too. And so that's what I did. But I do thank God, as you should thank God for your mother. My mom is 80 years old now, and truly a blessing. What I love about my mom, she didn't deviate from stuff. She wasn't wishy-washy. She wasn't fluctuating. She wasn't all over the place. And that steadfastness, that discipline, that just perseverance, it was just unrelenting. My mom was unrelenting. She's just like this. It's like a straight arrow. So I didn't have to look far to know what was right and wrong. It was there all the time. And so when I was wrong, which was like daily growing up, she whipped that stuff out of me. And she brought me back. She brought me into the light. Thank God for the light. And so I look forward to seeing her today when I go by and see her. It's a joy. And, you know, I mean, really reflecting on it. I don't care where your mama been, what your mama done, what she didn't do right. That was your mama. That's your mama. Now watch this. I could have looked at my mama as some kind of evil if my heart was messed up, really. Why do I say that? Because if she's disciplined me and I'm rebellious, right, and I refuse to accept the discipline for the betterment of my life, I'm going to see all of that wrong. So, see, it ain't always your mama that was the issue. Sometimes the issue was you. And you couldn't receive what she was trying to instruct you or guide you because you had some kind of bent in you that had to be bent out of you. That's the deal. So I could have thought my mama was evil because she was straightening me out. Some of you, that's how it went with you. You didn't really receive from your mama. I'm going to do me. I don't care what mama got to say. Honor thy mother and thy father. See, that's it right there. That's the first commandment with promise. Your days will be long. And I've had a great life. I've had a great life because, see, God connects to how we relate to them.
Amen.
Because it's his word. See, I think people think God's going to deviate from that word. He didn't say she had to be perfect. And you ain't perfect either.
Amen.
IJS. I'm just saying. You ain't perfect. And I like to see today that some of you grow to be mothers that ain't mothers. And I want to see how you act. And will your children obey you and do with you? What you going to do when you have yours? How is it going to look when they 21 and 25 and 35? Are they still going to be doing what they supposed to do? Are they going to be about their father's business? Last thing is this, if you are a mother and everything didn't go the way it needed to be or your mother didn't, forgive yourself or forgive your mother. That's Bible. Either you forgive, if it's you that wasn't what you needed to be coming up, forgive yourself, get on the right track. If it's your mother that wasn't what she was supposed to be in your mindset, however that is, You need to forgive your mama. And if you're holding something against God because that's the mama you got, you need to forgive God. People do it, though. See, it ain't that he did nothing wrong. It's just your issue, and you ain't been released because you're still in bondage. You're the one in chains when you're in unforgiveness. That's why folk, they moving around fancy free, and you still stuck like Chuck because you are unforgiven. So, if you ain't talked to your mom, if she's still around, reach out and touch. Don't be holding stuff, because stuff moved down through generations. And what you holding on, next thing might be in your the next generation down. And you trying to figure out where it came from. You just unleashed some familiar spirits and some tormenting spirits into your world. And you wasn't wise enough to know. So forgive them and forgive yourself for the part you played. Are we good, y'all?
Amen.
Bless God. There may be somebody who has not accepted Jesus as Lord of your life, and you believe God has said, this is the day. And we want to invite you. We want to extend that call to you. That, Lord, I'm ready to turn my life around. I'm ready to give you my all. I surrender all. If you're in the house today, I just ask you, come forward. If you're in this place and you have not submitted your life to him, for real, if you're in the house today, as I assure you, sometimes you're in the house and you have the form of it. That's why the Bible can speak about having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. People can have an image of something. And they could be, their hearts could be so far from him. But they got the image. And maybe somebody looking for a church home, we extend that call to here at 1:30. We ain't going to hold the line long. If you're in the house. Amen. Well, bless God. Ain't nobody moving. If you need to move, I guess you move another day one day. If that's the call on your salvation or whatever God is speaking to you. That being said, I know it's Mother's Day, and a lot of you are ready to move on out to go and enjoy your moms, and we won't hold you in delay. Let's stand. I feel like running right now. Yeah, well, I get something tonight, maybe this evening. And get to run a little bit. That's going to be all right. That's all right. I had to get some of that in. Exhaust some of that energy in me. Maybe it's because I didn't preach to Misha. I don't know. Maybe that's what it was. All right. All right. I got you. I'm coming to your house, and I got a special sermon. I'm going to show up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this blessed day, and we thank you for the word that has come forth through Minister Jackie. And Lord God, we pray that we receive some things that will make an impact in our lives, understanding the responsibilities of motherhood, as well as just the fact that even through that, even men can pick up on that which you've spoken through the word that she has spoken today. Lord God, we pray that you continue to watch over us as we go here and there to and fro. We thank you for traveling grace and mercy. And we pray, God, that every blessing that you have for us, oh God, that those blessings will manifest in our lives, oh God, and we will be in position to receive every blessing. Oh God, we are blessed and highly favored of God. And we love you with our whole heart, mind, and soul. And we just pray, God, have your way this day and forevermore. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hug somebody, tell them you love them, and may God keep you in perfect peace.